B'nai Yisachar. Many tzaddikim said it's impossible to come to a Yom Tov and understand what it's about without first learning the B'nai Yisachar. B'nai Yisachar was written by Rav Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, passed away in 1841. And the B'nai Yisachar wrote a work where he goes through the entire calendar year. Right, so he has Mamarim on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, and then he comes to Chodesh Nisan. So I want to look at Maimer Ches, which is his Maimer about Matzah. I will understand an amazing thing. Really, it's an entire Pesach message, but it's woven into the very fabric of the Matzah, so to speak. Okay, so let's take a look. Oz Aleph. The Pasuk says in Shemos Perek Yud Beis, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, ki be'etzem ha-yom hazeh hutzisi tzivoseichem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Yeah, person has to be Shomer, guard the matzos, guard the mitzvos, because on this very day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Hine atam hamavur b'pasuk eina muvan. Make sure, matzah, yeah, because I took you out of Mitzrayim on this very day. What? Why is that? What's the because? And if I took you out on a different day, then we wouldn't have to be Shomer the matzah. We wouldn't have to watch the matzah. What's the explanation? Shmartem es ha-matzos, ki be'etzem ha-yom hazeh hotzeisi es sivoseicha me'eretz Yisrael. Because on that very day, I took your hosts, I took you out of Mitzrayim, took the entire Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Well, what's the explanation in the pasuk? V'nira detzarach lechavin hatam b'shas ha-shmira, kevan shehatam mevur b'torah ki yadua me'apoiskim. We know from the poskim that when the Torah tells us a reason for something, you're supposed to contemplate that reason, you're supposed to think about that reason when you're doing that thing. So for example, sukkah. It says we should sit in the sukkah, leman yedu, so that you shall know that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. So part of the mitzvah of sukkah is not just sitting there, but is thinking about the fact that what? That when I sit there, I'm remembering the fact that Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. So to hear. The Torah is telling us, when you're preparing the matzah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to recognize the fact that I took you out of Mitzrayim. Is that supposed to be part of the baking process? When I'm making matzah, when I'm rolling the matzah, I'm thinking about how Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim? What if I don't think that? Is my matzah not kosher? Is my matzah b'di'eved? V'hinei kvar dibarnu b'zeh b'drushim. V'kan neshna de'in medrash b'lo chiddush. He says, I already spoke about this in earlier drushas, but I want to add something new. V'gam b'chdei lidrosh ha'inyin b'zman ha'sipur. And also, of course, to darshan it in the context of the sipur. Meaning what? V'nira al pi mashin isbar b'zohar. He begins explaining by quoting a Zohar. The Zohar tells us, what is another name for matzah? De matzah nikra mechla de mehamnusa. Matzah is called mechla, the food. The food of mehamnusa, of faith, of amuna. Mechla de mehamnusa means the food of amuna. Matzah is called the food of amuna. Okay, why is matzah called the food of amuna? Umeharoy lizbonein mahu ha amuna shemeramezes hamatzah. What does matzah teach us? What amuna does matzah teach us? Where's the amuna in the matzah? What is it about matzah that is called the food of faith, the food of amuna? V'nira lomar. When a person breaks bread, regular bread, ha'uman kisha'osa osa b'pulaso, when the baker is involved in preparing the bread, of making the dough, what does he do? So at first he's metapa with the dough, he's busy with the dough, he's mixing the ingredients, but then what do you do? When my wife bakes challah, what does she do after she's done preparing the dough? You leave it, you let it sit. And what happens when you let it sit? It rises, right? The ingredients cause it to rise. And it rises in a miraculous way on its own, or so it seems. Achar kach kesha uman gamra b'midasa, hine ha'isa ba'atzma osa p'ulas atzma. After the baker has completed his craft, has done his part, so then he leaves the isa means the dough, to itself on its own, and it's osa pu'ulas atzma, top of the left column, and the bottom half of the page, obviously. Right? It does its own work. It operates independently. It has a mind of its own. The challah just rises and rises and rises. The dough gets bigger and bigger and bigger. My daughter has a kid's book at home about a dough that was left, and it just kept rising and rising until it like overflowed the whole house, you know? And then she realized she just fell asleep on the couch while the dough was rising, and she woke up and the dough was fine. It was perfect amount, and Bubby came over and helped her bake challah. It was beautiful. Okay? But the dough has a mind of its own. It operates independently. That it bubbles over and it rises up, growing bigger and bigger in every direction. And it fills many cracks and crevices. It just keeps going. And this is the nature of chametz, that it has the ability to what? It's a chemical reaction. That it's able to do things, to transform itself, to take on new properties without the active involvement of the baker, of the one who's responsible for it. Ki ha'uman kvar silek yadav, because the baker has already removed his hands, v'chalaf v'halach lo, and has gone his separate way. He's done. He's done with the matzah. He's done with the dough. Masha ein kein matzah. Have I underline these lines? Masha ein kein matzah. Unlike the nature of matzah, ina osa shum pu'ula me'atzma, rak pu'ula sa'uman. The matzah is watched. The matzah is controlled. The matzah is worked upon. Mamish from beginning to end. Not for a second do we withdraw from the matzah. The matzah is never left on its own. The matzah is always, always, always being taken care of. So therefore, says the Holy B'nai Yisachar, that's why matzah is the food of faith. Because when a Jew thinks that what? That he operates independently. That he thinks he can rise on his own. That he thinks he can transform himself on his own. That he thinks he can expand his enterprise on his own. No such thing. A Jew has to see himself as matzah. When he eats the matzah, he reminds himself that Hashem, the same way this matzah was watched and provided for and taken care of with unbelievable precision from beginning to end, so too my relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is exactly the same. Matzah is the food of Amunah and Bitachon she'ein lanu shum tenua bezulas hashgachaso yisbarach shemo. That just like the matzah doesn't make a single move on its own, so too no Jew, a Yid, doesn't make a move in this world without a Kodesh Baruch Hu's active involvement. V'lo yosif ha'odim v'lo yigra b'avodaso davar. And your man-made efforts are not going to dictate how things are going to go. Rather, the one who's molding the dough, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to dictate how things go. Zulas ha'bechira b'tora u'vehefech ha'speshalam averos asher kol zem masar Hashem yisbarach l'bechira senu kenoda. Of course, he writes in parentheses here, with the exception, of course, of what? The exception, of course, with the bechira that we've been given, the choice, the free will that we've been given to choose mitzvot or choose averos, which themselves will have a response. Positive actions will be rewarded. Negative actions will be punished. So, of course, we have to operate within bechira as if we have free will, but we have to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is molding us every step of the way. Hineri kasher yeida ha'adam zeh be'emes, when a person knows this fully, Yeda asher gam hamazalos lo yosifu v'lo yigru. Then he understands that the mazalos, that the mazal, that the arrangement of the stars, luck, will play no role in his failures or his successes. Hagam shemisnaika kol b'teva. Even though everything seems to operate within a natural order, and there is a study of the stars, there is a way to the stars. And to understand that when the world is positioned a certain way, it brings shefa on the world. That's for the world. That's not for Klal Yisrael. Ein mazel Yisrael. So how do we highlight on Pesach that we're not by mazel? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved in every bit of our life? Step one, we eat matzah for 7 days. Obviously, the chi of achilas matzah is on the Seder, but it's understood that matzah is supposed to be the substance that we sustain ourselves upon for 7 days. So we're saying, Hashem, I want you to act. I want to acknowledge the fact that you're active in my life every single step of the way, like this matzah was molded and watched and provided for every step of the way. So even though, yes, Hashem made what appears to be a natural order, God forbid to think that Hashem has withdrawn his hands. God forbid to think that Hashem has removed himself, is not watching over it, that Hashem just kind of put the world into motion and left it spinning. There's an amazing halacha by matzah. You know what the halacha is? We all know 18 minutes, right? 18 minutes, 18 minutes. You got to bake the matzah in 18 minutes. You know what the halacha says? If you keep working on the dough, as long as you keep actively working on the dough, you can go way longer than 18 minutes. As long as you keep the dough moving, then it's not going to become chametz. As long as you keep working on the dough. Once you remove your hands from the dough, so then we're concerned it's going to rise. So we have to get it quickly into the oven so that we can stop that process of leavening. We don't want it to turn into bread. But as long as the hands are still what? Actively working upon the dough, it's safe from chametz. It stays within the realm of possibility of matzah. What's that halacha telling us? That halacha is telling us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved in our life and we let Hashem actively be a player in our life, then we're protected from chametz. But the second we push Hashem's hands away, very quickly we can become chametz. Very, very quickly we can become chametz. Okay, so yes, Hashem gave an appearance of a natural order to the world. But as Jews, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the natural order as well. Ubeprat Yisrael Am, turn the page. Krovo. Especially Yisrael Am Krovo. Heim Lamala Min HaMazel. Top of page Resh Mem Vav. The Jewish people are above Mazel. We're not bound by a natural order. We're not bound by the stars, the Mazalos, the constellations. Vashem Yisbarach Manig Es HaMazalos Vashkacha U'mishadadam Kirtzono Mibli Hasir Ashkachasu Mehem Karega. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the constellations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges them according to his will without removing his watch over them for even a moment. V'chol pu'ulaso hi ha'kol pu'ulas ma'iseh ha'uman ha'po'el al yado mibli hefsek v'asar. And again, just like the baker, just like the worker, doesn't stop for a second, so too Hashem doesn't stop for a second. V'ein lehem tenu mibiladei kocho. And nothing moves, nothing happens. The world is spinning every second. Every breath of air that you take, it's all being controlled. It's being given to you. It's with the involvement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hinei zeh ha'yatos Mitzrayim. So now let's go to step two. So this is step one. The active involvement of the baking of the matzah teaches us that Hashem is actively involved in our lives every second, and Hashem never takes his hands away from the matzah. Never takes his hands away from Klal Yisrael. Step number two, look how Mitzrayim is the opposite of that. Mitzrayim was very, very into Teva. Very, very into Teva. In what sense? V'hinezeh ha'yatos Mitzrayim, this was a mistake of Egypt. V'amram shakol naseh v'nifal b'koach ha'mazalos, they were very into reading the stars. The Chartume Mitzrayim, Paro's astrologers and astronomers and his sorcerers and his wise men, they were very into the alignment of the stars. Hine Mitzrayim haya mazalam tole, rosh u'bechor hamazalos. However, every month has a mazal. Every month has an astrological sign, a horoscope, if you will. The mazal for the month of Nisan, the first month of the calendar year, ha'chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim, the mazal for the month of Nisan is the Teleh, which means the sheep. And we know that the Egyptians actually worshipped these animals. That's part of the reason we were told to take their god and make it into a carbon Pesach. It's the first of the Mazalos, just like Nisan is the first of the year, which means the Teleh is the head Mazal. It's the head of all of the Mazalos. Yeah? It's the head of all the Mazalos. Let's read the words again. Mitzrayim, the Mazal of Mitzrayim, is the Mazal of Chodesh Nisan, the Toleh, the sheep, the little Shapsala, Rosh u'bechor ha'mazalos, the head of all the constellations. V'hinei Hashem yizbarach bo'odias k'vuraso. So what did Hashem do dafkin Chodesh Nisan? You think the stars dictate reality? Not a chance. Hashem says, I'm going to overturn the whole world in Chodesh Nisan. I'm going to show you how much I'm involved in Chodesh Nisan. I'm going to slaughter the sheep in Chodesh Nisan, as if to say to slaughter your perception of a natural world. Ve'eichu meshadir asamazalos. So Kadosh Baruch says, I'm going to show you how I control the constellations. Hinei tziva lishcho tole rosh amazalos karban la'Hashem b'chodesh Nisan. Be'eis shlitaso. Hashem said, I'm going to take the sheep. I'm going to take the ultimate representation of the constellations, the head mazel, the head of all the constellations, the tole, the sheep, and I'm going to ask Klal Yisrael to slaughter it in its month. Ula'achlo b'leil tesvav l'chodesh Nisan. Why dafka on the 15th? Why is Pesach on the 15th? Why not the first of the month? The whole month is under the jurisdiction of Tole, under the sheep, under the astrological sign of the sheep. Why dafka the 15th? Because, chaver, how does a month work? How does a month work? Where's the strongest point of the month? Right? The middle of the month. The middle of the month. The moon goes through a progression. Right? As it gets bigger and smaller. The 15th, so to speak, is when it peaks. So the mazel teleh, at its peak, we're going to shecht it, we're going to eat it. We're going to consume it. We're going to show that we're not subservient to it. Ula achlo, again, b'leil tezvav l'chodesh nishon, so oz ha-mazel teleh b'tachlis ha-gavus v'gadlus, b'zman miloi ha-levana, when the moon is full, that's when, so to speak, that sign is at full expression. So at that moment, Hashem mocks it and says, what do you mean? You think this is what controls reality? I control reality. And he taught Klal Yisrael that by asking them to take the mazel, to take the god of the Egyptians, and to shecht it on the 15th of Nisan, the height of its expression. V'hotzias b'nei Yisrael mikur ha-barzel mi-mitzrayim, daika ve'is tachlis ha-gadlus shal mazel Mitzrayim. At the moment that Mitzrayim's mazel, Mitzrayim's fortune is best, at that moment, v'nehafachu. That's when they lose control of Klal Yisrael. B'zeh nishave ha'amuna sha'amazel lo yifol shum davar b'zulas hashkachaso v'kocho. So from here we see that the mazalos do not operate independent from God. The mazalos cannot accomplish anything if not for Hashem's hashkacha, if not for Hashem's direction and involvement. V'lizeh nitztavinu lecho matzah b'layla hazeh. So when we eat the matzah, and again, we think about how the matzah is the mechla de mehamnusa. It's the food of faith. La'amunas omen. It's the trustworthiness of the worker who didn't lose focus for 1 second in baking that matzah. Shakol nasa dimyon ha'matzah she'ein la'pu'ula acheres zulas pu'ula sa'uman. Just like that worker is so busy, focused on the matzah, it's a dimyon, it's an image, it's a reminder to us of Hashem being so focused and active in our lives. Understand this matter well. Okay? Everyone good so far? So two major points so far. First of all, the matzah's involvement through its baker, right? And the active involvement representing the hashkacha pratis of Hashem in our lives. And secondly, the slaughtering of the Karban Pesach is mamish the destruction of the very antithesis of this idea. That worship of the stars and the astrology and the worship of the natural order. That's why Paro says, I don't know this Hashem that you're talking about. Elohim I know a little bit about. Elohim maybe I know. Elohim means the God of nature. But Hashem, the God that's something more, that I don't know about. Paro mocks it. I never heard about that. You want to tell me that there's a God who created a natural order? We could discuss such a thing. But a God who has the ability to overturn the natural order? I'm not familiar with that. Paro said, I'm not familiar with that. He made fun of Elohim, which is Hashem, again, operating within nature. That's what this farim say, Elohim is gematria hateva. Right? The natural order of things. 86. Elohim, obviously, Elohim with a hey. Is 86. Is hateva. Right? That's the natural way of things. Yudke Vavke, Hashem's name Yudke Vavke, brings out something much deeper, as we're about to see. Uvezeh Yesh Lirmos, next paragraph. Uvezeh Yesh Lirmos, Gam came bepasuk, v'yivtuchu b'chayodei shemecha, ki lo azavta darshecha Hashem. How do we understand this pasuk? V'yivtuchu b'chayodei shemecha. What does it mean? To trust in Hashem, yodei shemecha. those who know your name. What does it mean to know the name of Hashem? So he explains. Matzah miramezes gamken lahamochin hadas. Matzah alludes to the mochin hadas. Let's see what he means by that. Ki matzah gimel pa'amim ma ishtani l'ma'alyusa mehalechem shebechol hashama. Matzah is 3 times 45. What's the gematria of matzah? 135. So he says matzah is 3 times ma, 3 times memhei, 3 times 45. Which shows that matzah is greater than bread that we eat all year round. What's the gematria of lechem? He says in the next line, lechem, 78, is gimel havayos pshutim. 78 is 3 times Hashem's name, yud, kei, vav, kei. What's the gematria of Hashem's name? Yud and hey and vav and hey, 26. What's 3 times 26? 78, lechem. That's the reason when you take your challah, you're supposed to dip it 3 times in salt. Right? Because melach, salt, is also 78. So you take lechem, the same letters as melach, as salt, and you dip it 3 times, acknowledging the fact that your bread in your hand is made up of 3 times Hashem's name. Okay. But matzah is also 3 times Hashem's name. But a better name of Hashem, an even better name of Hashem. What's 3 times 45, gematria matzah? What's 45? So he explains to us, he says, lechem is gimel havayos pshutim. Lechem is 3 times, havaya means the name yud kei vav kei. Lechem is 3 times yud kei vav kei pshutim, in the most simple and regular way, yud and hey and vav and hey is 26. So 26 times 3 is 78 is lechem. Matzah is 3 times yud kei vav kei, but yud kei vav kei spelled out. What do I mean by spelled out? Spell it out with me. How do you spell yud? Yud vav dalet. So what's the gematria of yud vav dalet? 20. Okay, hey is hey aleph. So that's another 6. So that's 26. Vav is vav vav. So that's another 12 is how much? 38. Yeah. 38. And then hey again. Hey, so no, sorry. Vav aleph, sorry. So it's vav aleph, right? We're doing alephs. Vav aleph, so it's 39, right? Again, it's yod vav dalet is 20. Hey Aleph is another 6, so that's 26. Vav Aleph Vav is 13, so that's 39. And then Hey Aleph is another 6, that's 45. So there's Hashem's name, just spelled regular. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Gematria 26. 3 times 26 produces Lechem, regular bread, very holy. Bread all year round is not a bad thing. We do a lot of mitzvahs with bread. Right? But on Pesach we say, no. We don't want Hashem in a contracted form. We want Hashem in our life in an expanded form. So we take those same letters, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, those 4 letters of God's name, we spell them out, we open them up. Right? Again, Yud is spelled Yud, Vav, Dalet. Hey is spelled Hey, Aleph. Vav is spelled Vav, Aleph, Vav. And then the last Hey again is spelled Hey, Aleph. That's Gematria 45. So Matzah is not 3 times 26, that's Lechem. Matzah is 3 times 45. 3 times 45 is gematria matzah. Because matzah is an expansion of Hashem in your life. Meichla de me'am nusa, the bread of faith. So look what he writes here. He says, matzah is gimel havayos maleim ba'alfin. So matzah is 3 times Hashem's name, expanded, filled out. So now we understand the pasuk in Tehillim. V'yivtechu becha yodei shemecha. V'yivtechu becha. Those will have bitachon in you. Yodei Shemecha, the ones who what? Who know your name. What does that mean? Hainu hispashtus osios hashemos kiyadua heim b'miloi. Those who really know how to understand your name, to see the fullness of your name. Masha enkeim b'ksiva. Efshar lakosvam b'li miloi. Right? Knowing the name means to understand the name, as opposed to the way that the name is written. V'hine yodei Shemecha hainu matza. Gimel Shemos B'miloi, Merames L'Gimel Mochin Chabad, HaNechlalin B'das. Okay, he's saying a very deep thing here. He's saying Chachma, Bina, and Das represent these three names of God in the matzah, and that's why it's Yodei Shemecha, coming to Das through the matzah. Okay, fine. We're not going to focus so much on the Kabbalistic element of what he's saying. Ki lo azavta darshecha Hashem. But what's the end of the pasuk? V'yivtucha b'yodei Shemecha. Again, matzah is the food of bitachon and emunah. And you have to be Yodei Shemecha. You have to see within the matzah that what? See the Shem Hashem in an expanded form. It's not just lechem. It's not 3 times 26. It's 3 times 45. It's expansion of Hashem's name. What's the end of the pasuk? Ki lo azavta darshecha Hashem. What does it mean, lo azavta? Because Hashem is not what? Azavta. Hashem has not abandoned you, forsaken you. Hashem has not left you. Because again, what's the nature of the matzah? What do we learn? You don't leave the matzah alone for a second. You got to be busy with the matzah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with you. Just like the matzah that can't be left alone even for a second. If the baker abandons it, then it won't be what? Then it won't be matzah, it'll be lechem, it'll be bread, it'll be chametz. And on Pesach, that would be a terrible failure. Okay? So look what's again, within the very substance of the matzah. Okay, yeah. Okay, matzah is the food of Geula. And Geula is Gematria 45. Very nice. Right? So what is Geula? Geula is not just recognizing Hashem in some small form, but again, trying to see the fullness of Hashem in my life. That's a redeemed life. Very good. Okay, bottom right-hand corner. Uvezeh tavo lehizbonein tam hanemar b'torah. So now we come back to the Torah. What did the Torah say? Ushmartem es hamatzos. Bishmira mu'ula. Right? Watch the matzah. What's the Torah telling us about watch the matzah? Right? Telling us just to be careful how to bake matzah? The Torah is saying more than that. Pay attention to the matzah. Learn a lesson from the fact that you have to pay such close attention to the matzah. Top of the left column. And why is that? V'amar atam ki be'etzem hayom hazeh. Because on that very day, think about the day you left Mitzrayim. What day was it? It was Tesvav Nisan. What does that mean to you, Jewish people? Ah, you know what it means? It means that is the highest point of the astrological, you know, alignment. When the mazel of Taleh, which the Egyptians worshipped, the head of all the astrological constellations and arrangements, is at its peak, the 15th of the month, at its fullness. Right? So what do I accept in my life? Do I accept the fullness of Hashem in my life? As found in that matzah, 3 times 45? Do I recognize that the matzah has to be watched at all times, actively worked upon? Or God forbid, do I what? Or God forbid, do I surrender to the mazalus? Hainu yom tesvav benisan shehu taleh. What do you want to say? Taleh is 44? Okay. Taleh is 44. That's what I thought you were going to say. That's what I was. You see taleh? Taleh, the mazal they worshipped is 44. We worship 45. We worship Hashem's name expanded. Yeah? Taleh is dam. The first makkah they got was dam. And when the Jews left Mitzrayim, they said, oh, we see blood in your future. Yeah, the blood you see in our future is the bris mila that we're going to do. Solidifying our covenant with Hashem. A bris mila is a permanent mark on my body that I'm always with Hashem, that I'm always connected to Hashem. So we slaughter their God at the heights of its expression. B'tachlis ha-gadlus. Bo ba-yom shidalti es ma'arachta v'otzeisi et tzivoseicha me'er setzayim. So now we know how to read the pasuk. Shmartim es ha-matzos. Pay attention to the matzah. Look how much you're active in the matzah. That's how much God was active in your life. And pay attention. Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh. On that very day, when the Egyptians were celebrating the heights of the natural order. On that very day, Hashem overturned the natural order to show how much he's involved. And I took you out of Mitzrayim. Mizeh nisvada shamazalos ein lahem shum kolach utnua upu'ula mibiladei ha'uman hayotzer kol hu elokeinu. And it serves as the clearest reminder that there is no movement, not in this world, not in the heavens above. There's nothing that happens without the Creator, namely our God, who's controlling every bit of it. Lahora zu tishmu es hamatzos. And for that lesson, pay attention to the matzah. Yeah.
I was going to say that before. I think I heard a Rubens say once that the Shema, Shema 45, is the Shema of like humility. So,
yeah.
In the context of matzah, that
sure.
makes sense. Matzah,
three times, there's a lot about that. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about that. Ma is the word that Moshe and Aaron used to describe their humility, lechem oni. Sure, three times ma, three types of anivus. Maybe we'll have a shir on it. There's a lot to talk about. But yes, you're absolutely saying the correct thing. Okay, let's go a little further. Oz base. V'yisparish odu shmartim esamatzos ki be'etzem ayom hazeh hu gam kein l'derech hanizkal. Let's explain a little bit further. Matzah ein barak pu'ulas u'uman remez l'davar hanelam al pimad yadua b'kisvei maran. So he's going to teach us a deep concept from the Arisa. What do we learn from the matzah and the constant involvement with the matzah? D'b'chol hamo'odim ha'pu'ulos v'zivugim ha'nasim ba'oros ha'elyonim hu al yedei ma'aseinu usfilaseinu. What makes Pesach different? All the other mo'adim, we made an effort. We had what to bring to the table. We did our part. We stepped up. Leichnos kol ha'yehudim. The Jewish people got it together. Esther went with Mesiras Nefesh. Right? It was an isarusa dilatata. There was an arousal from below. We did our part. To, so to speak, awaken Hashem's mercy upon us. In Mitzrayim, we didn't have anything to bring to the table. Masha ein kein bayom hakadosh hazeh nasa kol bisarusa de la'ela. But on this holy day, when we left Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were on the 49th level of Tuma. We didn't have anything of our own. We're like the matzah that doesn't do anything on its own. It doesn't have anything of its own. Right? The matzah is as plain as can be. It doesn't have any additives. It doesn't bring anything to the table. It's as basic as can be. Masha ein kein bayom hakadosh hazeh. Everything was b'sarusa de la'ela. Isarusa de la'ela means a heavenly arousal. Right? His oiris that came from la'ela, from above. Kol ha'oros b'yachad shalal yedei tfilaseinu. It was not through our tfilas that we were saved. Kamo sh'asa Hashem yisbarach b'mei tseisenu me'eretz v'tzrayim. Hifli chasta b'ro racham av shalok ha'teva. It was an unbelievable rachmanis that Hashem had. A chesed that Hashem provided for us. Ki kol hadavar asher nasa al yedei maisa hisoris hu keseder hamadregos. Because when something happens that you've earned, there's a process of earning it. Yeah? I'll use a lahavdil, just a simple mashal. A person wants to become a professional athlete. So he has to work his way up towards that. There's a process of becoming a professional athlete. Right? First he has to distinguish himself as a good player as a kid. And then he has to stand out in high school. And then he has to take his game to the next level of college, a totally different level of play. And then to take it from there to be in the NBA. Right? There's a process. You know, the seventh grader can't go into the NBA. It just doesn't happen like that. Right. Even if he's really good in seventh grade, there's a process. The same thing is true. A person has an idea and wants to start a company. Right? So, okay, so first you're going to have to invest some money, maybe even lose some money, and then you'll start breaking even, and then you'll start making some money. There's a process. There's a series of steps by which a person is able, through his efforts, to achieve. That's how life goes. Masha'ein kein b'leil tseisenu me'eretz Mitzrayim. But when it came to the Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim, we didn't climb out from level 49 to 48 to 47 to 46 through our efforts. We didn't dig ourselves out of that spiritual hole. You know what Hashem did? Hashem yanked us out of Mitzrayim. We jumped all the way up. We jumped out of that deep pit all the way to such a high level in one shot. You know what that's called? Pesach. Skipping over. Passing over. Mitzrayim lo haya be'efshari le'asos hadavar keseder hamadregos. We weren't able to follow the normal pattern of growth. And that normal pattern, the examples I gave, obviously, were olam haza examples. Same thing is true in spiritual examples. You can't finish shas in one day. You learn one mishnah, and then you learn another mishnah. What was amazing in Mitzrayim is we took this spiritual leap. Normally, you see a person who's trying to do spiritual leaps, it's a very dangerous sign. They're going to come crashing down. You wake up one day and decide, today, from this day forward, I'm a big tzaddik, and yesterday I was just a regular guy. It'll last for a very short amount of time before a person feels totally lost. You can't skip steps. You've got to climb the ladder. But in Mitzrayim, it was not in accordance with the Seder HaMadregos. Machmas Hagadlus Achizas Achitzon, and it wasn't possible for Jews to climb the way out. They were in such trouble that they needed to what? They needed to be saved. So it wasn't through our efforts of slowly making an effort to be a little better, and then a little better, a little better. No, Hashem grabbed us and pulled us out of Mitzrayim. V'hifli Hashem Yisbarach lasas adava karega. But Yom HaKadosh is that. A single moment on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled us out of Mitzrayim. His oris mochen de gadlus, sheini biyachad, kenod l'mevine mada. Again, a Kabbalistic idea. Let's keep going. V'gam ke'es nasa hadavar shalo al yedei ma'aseinu. And the same thing is true, what? The same thing has to be the feeling that a Jew always has. The same way, what's the lesson of Mitzrayim? The lesson of Mitzrayim is what? That it's not me. Even when it looks like me, it's not me. In Mitzrayim, I know for sure it wasn't me. We were on the 49th level of Tumah. We were in a very impure and unholy place. We did not have mitzvos and ma'isim tovim to save us. But a Jew has to live with that reality a little bit all the time. That it's not in my own effort that I've experienced success or growth in this world. Right now, we also need to acknowledge that. Pause for a second and look at the Haggah. Look at the inserted note. You see the text within the text? Haggah, bottom left-hand corner. Al kein timtza b'toira b'parshas Pinchas b'chol moed Hashem mikra kodesh. It says, mikra kodesh yiyya lachem. By all the other holidays, you know what it says? A holy convocation it shall be for you. Why mention you? Because you played a role in it. You helped to make it happen. You know what it says about Pesach? Mikra Kodesh. It doesn't say Lachem. There's no din of Lachem by Pesach. Your lulav, right? Lukachtem Lachem by Yom HaRishon. You have to own your lulav. It has to be yours. Lachem, there's no Lachem by Pesach. It's not you. V'lo nemar ye Lachem. Why doesn't it say Lachem? You know why? Because it's not really you. However, what do we say to conclude the central bracha of the Shemona Esrei on Yom Tov? What do we say? Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. What does that mean? What are we expressing when we say Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim? That we, the Jewish people, have the ability to be Mekadesh the Zman. Right? We make the holidays. How do we make the holidays? By looking at the moon, by determining when it's Rosh Chodesh, and by determining the calendar based on when Rosh Chodesh lands. Okay? How do we conclude the bracha on Shabbos? Do we say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hashabbos? No. We say Mekadesh HaShabbos. Right? We conclude the bracha in Shemona Esrei on Shabbos, Mekadesh HaShabbat. Mekadesh HaShabbos. Why? Where's Yisrael? Because to use the language of the Gemara, Shabbos is Kviya V'Kaima. We don't decide when Shabbos arrives. It's set. God created it every 7 days, and it comes when it comes. We don't control it. It's not like the rest of the calendar. It's not like the holidays, where we have some input determining, is today Rosh Chodesh? Is tomorrow Rosh Chodesh? How will that dictate when Yom Kippur falls out? How will that dictate whenever Yom Tov falls out? Mekadesh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Shabbos? No. Mekadesh HaShabbos. So, Chevra, what do we find very interesting when it comes to the Yom Tov of Pesach? When do we count Sfiras HaOmer? When do we start counting Sfiras HaOmer? Right? How does the Torah describe it? The Bar Mitzvah parsha, no? What does it say? Usvartem lachem mimacharat HaShabbat. Mimacharas HaShabbos. What does that mean? We start counting Svira after Shabbos. After Shabbos? What do you mean after Shabbos? I thought we start counting after Yom Tov. Again, we're used to having a Seder the first night and the second night. Right? Ideally, we'd be living in Eretz Yisrael and have one night of Yom Tov. We'd have one Seder. Yeah? So, starting after Yom Tov, after the first night, after the first day, after the first Yom Tov, when we enter into Chol HaMoed, that's when we start counting Sfiras HaOmer. Why is it called Mimacharas HaShabbos? What I'm asking you is, why is Pesach called Shabbos by the Torah? Why is the Torah called Pesach Shabbos? Well, Shabbos means a day of rest, so Yom Tov we also, there's a Isra Malacha, we rest. What? It doesn't call Sukkot Shabbos. It doesn't call Shavuos Shabbos. Why is Pesach being called Shabbos? And the answer is very obvious to us, if you're paying attention. Because Pesach, like Shabbos, is not our own efforts. All the other Yom Tovim, there's an aspect called Lachem. You make the Yom Tov. Pesach, it was Isarus de la'ela, it was Hashem's chesed. It wasn't us, it wasn't me, it wasn't our efforts. And therefore, Pesach is like Shabbos. It's kvi of a kaima. It just is. It's what Hashem decided to do. There's no lachem aspect. So he concludes the paragraph. He says, going back now to the regular text, v'zehu shmartim es ha-matzvos. Pay attention to the matzah. What does it mean? Lahora ha-nifla ha-lezu. Eishakol ha-oros ha-alyonim nasa behem dimyon ha-matzah she'ein la-shitof pu'ula acheres zulas pu'ulas ha-uman cha'asa. Again, just like the matzah is controlled by its maker, so too, realize, Klal Yisrael, you didn't earn your way out of Mitzrayim. You didn't work your way out of Mitzrayim. You didn't climb your way out of Mitzrayim. Someone else had rachmanis on you and provided for you. And that's what you're supposed to think about as well when a Jew is osek in the matzah. To realize this is not just about the matzah. This is about the entire birth of Klal Yisrael. We were totally unworthy. We had nothing of our own. It was not Mekadesh Yisrael. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was Mekadesh HaShabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Yom Tov. It's Mikra Kodesh, but it's not Yelachem. It's not you. And again, that's part of the humility that Eliot was alluding to, which is, again, baked into the matzah. Okay, last point. Let's turn to the last page. U'vizeh yesh lafarish gam kein tam acher mavur b'mishnah Torah mitzvah sechilas matzah. Let's understand one more point when it comes to the mitzah of eating matzah. And that is the following. It's a related point. Let's see. Pasuk says, Shivas yamim tochal alav matzah. So on the top of the last page. For 7 days you should eat matzah. Lechem oni. The bread of your affliction. Ki b'chipazon yatzasa me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because you left Mitzrayim quickly. Why do I have to remember that I left Mitzrayim quickly? Eat the matzah, remember you left Mitzrayim quickly. Why is it important that I remember that we left quickly? We left quickly, we left slowly. There was traffic on the highway. You turned on Waze. It sounds like, it was gewaldic. We got out quickly. Is that a good thing? Because if you look in the Navi, he says, in the Navi Yeshaya, Hine la'asir b'mehera b'yameinu hiftichanu yotreinu ki lo b'chipazon teitzeu. The Navi Yeshaya says in Perek Nun Beis about Mashiach's arrival, we're not going to leave so quickly. And it sounds like that's a good thing. So is it good to leave quick or is it not good to leave quick? The Navi is predicting that the final Gula will be not so quick. Almad delav al yusahu achipazon. Right? Again, that Navi is describing in a positive sense the value of being able to take your time, to not rush. So is rushing good? Is rushing bad? How does it connect to the Zecher that we incorporate into the matzah? V'chein amru chazal b'medrash, mi garm lachem kol atzar hazeh, chipazom sheyatzasem. The Medrash says very clearly, what caused all the troubles for the Jewish people? That we were rushing. That we were hasty. It brought a lot of trouble upon a Jew. A Jew has to operate with Yeshiva Das. Yeshiva Das, relax, slow, take it slow. Be methodical, kavana, not rushing through things. Rushing through davening is good, no. Rushing through mitzvahs are good, no. Enjoy it, take your time, be present. The Medrash is pretty clear that in the future we're going to leave slowly, which is a good thing. But if you have deep eyes, if your mind's eye is open to listening, Chavra, says the Holy B'nai Yisrael, you'll understand very clearly. Again, related to what we were just learning a moment ago. Why were we in a rush to get out of Mitzrayim? Because it's been revealed to us that the Jewish people are on the 49th level of Tumah. Yeah, they were in such a low place. V'ilu haya mamtin Hashem Yisbarach od karega kvar hayu chas v'shalom mishukam b'shar hanun. And had they remained there even a bit longer, they would have sunken into level 50. They would have reached the shar nun, as it's called. The point of no return. The shar nun. The Sfarim say that shar nun, the letter nun, shar is how much in Gematria? 570. Nun is another 50, so that's 620. It's going to your kares, cut off, excision, point of no return, separation from Hashem. So Hashem says, we're in a rush. We got to get out of here. They could have been stuck there forever, whatever that means. So therefore Hashem says, we got to go. So Hashem rushed us out of Mitzrayim. As opposed to all the other redemptions, where again we made an effort and there was a more gradual ascent. And because Hashem was taking us out in such a rushed way, the whole order was flipped around. We had to achieve something very great, very quickly, which is totally unnatural. And it was done in a way that, again, it wasn't our efforts. And that's why even when Hashem plucked us out of Mitzrayim and took us to a very high level, did we stay that way? No. You can't, even if God plucks you up and puts you on a high level, you're going to come crashing back down. So how do we fix ourselves? Again, Hashem had to rush us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem had to pull us out to a very high level. What happens next, though? How do we make sure that we absorb that growth in a slow way? It's called Sfiras HaOmer. V'teikaf l'machras hayom, immediately the next day, maschilin lispor darga basar darga ad chagashuas. So the Seder night, the way the Sfarim explained it, a Jew experiences this unbelievable elevation. But to acquire that, it takes Sfiras HaOmer. You jump to this very high level, and then you start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, step by step, until you come to Shavuos, and then you really accept the Torah in a way that's hopefully lasting. And therefore, Hinei Tzivanu Hashem Yisbarach Laso Zecher L'Chipazon. So why does Hashem want us to remember the Chipazon? Eat the matzah, remember you left Mitzrayim quickly. Who cares? No, think about that. Why did we leave Mitzrayim quickly? We left Mitzrayim quickly because we were not able to survive a second longer, because we had no merits of our own, because Hashem was kind to us, because Hashem is active in our lives. And again, when a Jew thinks about that as he's eating the matzah, he recognizes the unbelievable mechla de mehamnusa, the food of amunah, the food of bitachon. Again, it's all built into that matzah. The downfall of Egypt's belief in the mazalos, in the natural order, and our constant work to elevate and recognize Hashem more and more in our lives. Okay, so that's why the Torah emphasizes, eat the matzah because I took you out of Mitzrayim quickly. What does eat the matzah have to do with taking you out of Mitzrayim quickly? Again, the Pashup Shad is, historically, we rushed out so the matzah didn't have time to rise. But more than that, what does matzah have to do with rushing out? It's exactly the same. We rushed out because we were unworthy and Hashem was kind to us. The matzah also, again, represents Hashem's active involvement in everything that we do. It's Hashem's kindness, Hashem's constant shmira over us. And everything that we do in this world. Okay, so chaver, this is just something to start getting us hungry for matzah. Shloshim yom kodem achag. Got to start preparing ourselves to eat the matzah. So when you close your eyes and you're eating that matzah and you're thinking about all the preparation that went into this matzah and all the care and the attention that went into this matzah, remind yourself of all the care and the attention and the focus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has upon each and every one of us. Okay? Good? B'nai Yisasser. You can't come to Yontov without B'nai Yisasser. So now, Baruch Hashem, we're a little bit more ready for Pesach.